The Sleep Outfitters 4th of July sale is happening now. Save up to $1,000 on Beautyrest Black adjustable sets and experience next-level comfort and support. Plus, enjoy free white glove delivery and setup. But hurry, deals this big won't last long. Only at Sleep Outfitters.
The days are longer, the calendar is filling up, and I want to feel as good as this beautiful summer weather. That's why I've been loving Grüns. It's one daily pack of gummies that covers my greens, vitamins, minerals, and even has 6 grams of prebiotic fiber, so I don't need to juggle a complicated wellness routine on top of everything else. They taste amazing, they're easy to toss in my bag on the go, plus they're vegan, gluten-free, and HSA and FSA, eligible for reimbursement. Save up to 52% off with code PODCAST at Grüns.co. That's code PODCAST at GRUNS.co.
The team with the biggest support in Glasgow and the West. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Game over in Paisley, still very much underway in the first half at Celtic Park. Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0. And Celtic are enjoying themselves up to a point, Hugh Keevans. They're knocking it about. The fans will like it. They're looking forward. They're not knocking it about for the sake of it. There's just that one little final bit missing to make it 2-0 and maybe even further.
The score at the moment is like an optical illusion, because Aberdeen are getting pummeled beyond pummeled. But as I say, I think it's because first day of the season, you're growing into yourselves, and Celtic have been magnificent, but the final ball sometimes goes astray. Kyogo just had a chance with the slightly overhit pass from Matt O'Reilly to make it 2-0. Celtic are wonderful to watch. The entertainment value is 100%, but at the moment they're still only one goal in front, and as I say, that is so unbelievable. It's like an optical illusion.
Aberdeen are hanging on, Hugh. This game has, it's got the scent of, if Celtic
and
were to
Aberdeen
score,
are into the box, have not been there very often, and you know what, get a bit unfortunate.
That was poor for me.
It spun off the heels of a Celtic man tracking back and sort of fortunately fell the way of the home side.
Yeah, I think that's a terrific position. Is it Richards down the right hand side there? Yeah. I think he's got to do better, Gordon. And plus the fact he's got bodies in the box to pick out. There was no composure in that. I think it was just a shock that the fact they got in behind the Celtic's back line for the first time in 33 minutes. Just a little warning. You're right. As much as we have praised Celtic, and rightly so, their football has been terrific to watch. They're quick, they're sharp, they're putting nice balls into the box. It's just that final maybe half yard, just that too much on the ball, lack of pace on the ball. There's just a final bit of the jigsaw missing. But when it's still 1-0 and you're Aberdeen, you're thinking, we may just get a chance here and get something.
Every chance of that. But, you know, I must go back to the impression that Celtic are just growing into themselves. It's wonderful to watch. It's not quite perfected yet. It's 1-0, but it should be 4 or 5.
Yeah, and it's got the feel, Hugh, that if there is a second goal for Celtic,
they've not created 4 or 5 good chances though.
Well, you've had the miss from the overhit pass from Matt O'Reilly. They are just swamping Aberdeen, but Gordon's perfectly correct. As long as it's 1-0, there's always the chance the other team can score.
I think that's the only thing Ange Postecoglou now. We know he's not a panicker, of course he's not. He'll be delighted with the style of football, the sharpness, the early goal. Well, the only thing he would probably be saying to himself, I'm a bit disappointed, is that just that wee final ball, that ball that just kills the defence and puts us 2-0 up and puts us in easy street. Because let's face it, Celtic go 2-0 up, it's a matter of how many. Aberdeen are hanging on just now, they're still in the game. You know, they're not showing a lot, we know that, but they're still in the game at 1-0. 2-0, the game's away from them.
Yeah, that's why the timing of that first goal is so difficult, isn't it, Roger?
Absolutely, and they could have folded. You know, 2.5 minutes into the game, Stephen Welsh scores, and it's just the ideal start for Celtic, and you expect them then to kick on. Fair play to Aberdeen, they've been resolute in their defending. Kelleher has fielded whatever's been thrown at him, and just in the last minute or two, they're just beginning to get close to Joe Hart's goal.
Yeah, first time he's used his gloves, I think. Matty Kennedy checked back onto his left, curled one, it was right at Joe Hart, but still, that's closer than we've seen Aberdeen.
It's encouraging if you're a Red
A red, I like that. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Because they've offered nothing, Gordon. All they've done is chase shadows. They've defended, last-ditch tackles. You've got to say some of the defending's been good, but you've got to show something up the other end of the park. Yes, it was very tame. It's never going to trouble Joe Hart, but at least a shot on goals.
Yeah, they do look a bit more confident, Roger, going forward.
Yeah, and that, listen, as we said earlier on, they haven't just sat back and invited Celtic onto them. They have tried to involve themselves in the play, but of course, when you do that, you risk, you know, leaving the spaces at the other end.
Celtic are in the box again, then they come back out it to try and work something. There's so much space. The flag must be up, is it? Yeah, the ball's in the back of the net. If that wasn't offside, it was the simplest piece of play you'll see all season, because it was rolled into Jota's feet. He tucked it into the bottom corner, but there was no real complaints. Certainly Celtic were just working it around, and yeah, I mean, he's almost comfortably offside, Roger. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I've got to say, I'm looking at the Aberdeen, new Aberdeen captain, is it Stuart in the middle there? And already 36 minutes, he is treading. He's been in the bath with his boots and forgot to empty them because they're still full. He's treading water already. I'm seeing him there trying to get back into position. The movement of Kyogo is pulling him all over the place. I don't think he's played at this sort
though.
Of place.
He's a chance.
Yeah, Aberdeen into the box. It's laid back. There's a touch and it's wide of the post. That's a huge chance for Aberdeen, and it's former Celtic player Johnny Hayes. Initially, maybe looked like he didn't need the touch, but even when he took it, he still had loads of time to pick his spot, and he picked one wide of the post.
Had to score.
Yeah,
absolutely had to score. And Aberdeen will not get a better chance than that this afternoon. I thought he did well to take the touch, Gordon.
Brilliant.
I thought
touch.
The steady him, gave him the look of the whole goal, put it wide of the post.
He could have gone either side, Gordon.
Yep.
He's gone the near post and slipped it past.
I'm going to go slightly against Roger here and say he had to score. What for me was, he had to hit the target. And probably Roger's argument will come back and say, well, if he hits the target, he does score. You get into that position, then you have got to hit the target. There's no doubt, especially with the quality Johnny Hayes. In the last couple of minutes, that one silly wee shot at Joe Hart, all of a sudden he's given Aberdeen a wee bit confidence. I think that plays into Celtic's hands, right? Because they're starting to put bodies forward. It leaves the gaps for what Celtic have got the pace and the movement. But it's encouraging for Tim Goodwin. I would be encouraged, but I still would be careful of what's going to happen up the other end, obviously, with the movement and the quality.
I think if they get to half time only a goal behind, then they'll take heart from that, because they have been pummeled, but it's still only 1-0. And we saw there from Johnny Hayes, that's all it takes, one little chance.
I was going to say a trick down the left from Jota, and the cross is flashed across the face, and Aberdeen take a fresh air swipe at it, so much so that it goes out for a Celtic an Aberdeen throw, sorry, on the near side. But fortunate for Jim Goodwin's side.
Yeah, there was one yesterday, I think, in the Livingston Rangers game. Jack Fitzwater actually did get a touch. He managed to slice it over his own bar. Ross McCrory will be heaving a sigh of relief that he didn't get a touch. It was just a fresh air swipe, because the position he was at, in between the posts, if he'd got anything in that, that would have been an own goal.
That's good commitment from Aberdeen, though. They wanted it more there, got through the 50-50, and they break away.
And they're getting bodies forward,
Celtic.
Gordon. You know, they're getting people forward. They're trying again to. What Jim will probably say is, we're trying to grow into this game, because he knew that it was going to be difficult. He knew with everything that was going on about Celtic Park today and the atmosphere that Celtic were going to come out the blocks, and the quality of the players and the pace. So he's saying, look, we may have to just grow into the game. Yes, they're disappointed they lost the first goal so early, but they're getting a little bit of confidence now. But once again, I will say, you start maybe being overconfident and putting too many players forward, that makes it easy for Celtic to pick you off. So they've just got to find a balance of going forward and defending and keeping yourself in
the game. Few loose passes now from Celtic. That looked like a simple one out to Maeda. It was under hit. Bizawan is able to take it off him.
That's what I pointed out earlier on. You know, it is the first day of the season, and everything cannot be expected to be perfect. And passes are being overhit. And that's why Kyogo couldn't get on the end of Matt O'Reilly's pass to make it 2-0. But credit to Aberdeen for having the courage to have withstood. Remember that incredible display from the fans prior to kickoff. 2.5 minutes after the kickoff, you're a goal down. But they've had the courage to withstand Celtic Park, and they're still hanging in here. And if they get to half time no worse than 1-0 down, then they'll feel okay. Second half, see what happens.
And more importantly than anything he does on the pitch today, Vicente Bizarwin has been in the papers this week, Roger, because he's addicted to
sticky toffee pudding.
Like a bit sticky. Yeah.
But this is a thing. Yeah, he's
yeah, very much. He's spoken about it. He's he loves sticky toffee pudding. He's absolutely addicted to it. He's been going around Aberdeen trying to find his favourite sticky toffee pudding.
Right.
At various different outlets.
Does Aberdeen have a thriving sticky toffee pudding scene?
I actually don't know. As you know, Daz was up there in business the other day. So did you try any, Daz?
I don't have a wee bit sticky. No, I can take it, but I'm not. It's a bit sickening for me, mm-hmm. Roger.
I just wonder. I mean, you
controversially, I'm a bit like you. You know,
I'm a wee bit more apple pie, ice cream, and
he's
pouring cream.
Professional sportsman. Imagine the work he must have to do at Cormac Park Monday to Friday. To work off all the calories.
There was a naughty one from Matty Kennedy on the heel of Matt O'Reilly. I don't know, I'll need to double check if he did get into the book for that.
I think he did yeah. He?
Yeah, he did. And I don't think he could have too many complaints. He slid in, caught Matt O'Reilly in the back of the leg, and away we go. So it looks like it will be Celtic with that one goal lead into the break, because Aberdeen are getting after them a lot better now than they were. That's really good play again. He's done it a few times, Ramadani. And Bizarwin's in here. If he can just find the cross, and it's a little bit overcooked, give Celtic the chance to regroup. But Aberdeen do still have it. Definitely their best spell in the last 10 minutes or so. Celtic do eventually clear.
I really didn't see this 10 minute spell coming here.
No.
When Celtic, the first half hour, Celtic were dominant. Aberdeen hardly beating a path towards Joe Hart at all. But they've got a few sightings ago in the last 10.
Yeah, very much an open game now. You can't fault Celtic. They're playing wonderful, entertaining football, but they're at that stage of the season where they're just not quite on it with regard to the precision of their passing and their finishing. They'll need to be careful though, they don't concede.
Yeah, definitely finishing the half in encouraging fashion for Jim Goodwin. Our Aberdeen, of course, you don't want to leave yourself open to this Celtic attack, Gordon, but it doesn't really look like happening. It's now not sticking, and McCrory, and I mentioned Ramadani, others are getting close to Celtic players and nicking the ball off them.
Sorry, I don't care how good a side you are, Gordon, you're not going to dominate the ball for 90 minutes. You're eventually going to give up possession, and Aberdeen are growing a little bit of confidence, nice passing movement, and Celtic are a little bit slack in possession, but Aberdeen are a bit sharper now, as I said, growing into the game. Jim will be delighted with the last 10 minutes going into half time. Even if he goes in 1-0, he'll be talking about obviously losing a goal to set play. Yes, they've rode their luck a little bit, because Celtic just with that final ball could have probably opened them up a lot more. But they've got to keep this belief up. As we keep going back to this old cliche, 1-0, the result's not in. I think if Celtic scored an R1, then there's no way back. But Aberdeen still believe just now that they could probably get something. But that's dangerous when you're at Celtic Park with the pace that they've got.
Yeah, and then they do come close. It's down the right-hand side. It's crossed. Kyogo tries to get in front. I think it's gone out for,
I think it's a corner off Anthony Stewart.
Yeah, I think so.
But Jim Goodwin, we said before the game, Jim Goodwin will find out a lot about these six new players this afternoon, Gordon. And I think he'll be, you know, they're 1-0 down. He won't be happy. But I think he'll be content that some of the, you know, the way they've stood up to this, they've been resolute and they haven't hidden. They've wanted the ball. They've tried to do things with the ball. You know, they haven't been scared to take it in tight areas. They haven't been scared to play their game.
Yeah, I'm sure Aberdeen won't want to make the same mistake twice, and they don't. The delivery's not bad from O'Reilly.
It's Captain Stewart, yeah. It just
heads it into the stand. Another corner.
Yeah, listen, you can't argue with that, Gordon. Clear a danger and hope you can defend the next one. But Celtic do it very quickly indeed, and Aberdeen respond to it.
Yeah, Celtic trying to get after it, but Aberdeen break here, and there might be a chance because Celtic are going to be scrambling back after that set piece. Hitati just does well just to show Aberdeen back down the line, and it is half time. Let's speak to Gabriel at Celtic Park.
Yeah, half time here at Celtic Park, and it's Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0. Stephen Welch's early header, the difference between the teams at the moment. It was electric here before kickoff, one of the best atmospheres I've seen here. Spectacular full stadium display as captain Callum McGregor unfurled the league flag for last season's achievement. And the players channeled the emotion from the crowd. They hit the ground running. 3 minutes in, they were 1-0 up. A great glancing header from Welch after an in-swinging Matt O'Reilly corner. It was the dream start for the Hoops and a nightmare for Jim Goodwin's visitors. Celtic were fully on top and in complete control. There were some shots from Hitate and Kyogo Furuhashe. They were both straight at Kelleher though in the Don's goal. In the 25th minute, Matt O'Reilly slid the ball across. It was just a touch heavy for Kyogo at the far post. He slid in, but the ball was just pulled wide. Kyogo has been close a couple of times, constantly buzzing about, but can't quite get that clear shot off. Jota did have the ball in the net a few minutes later, but it was clearly offside. However, with 10 minutes to go in the half, the Dons started to grow into the game a lot more, getting closer to the Celtic goal and starting to pose a threat. In the 38th minute, their golden chance came to former Celt Johnny Hayes. Bezuyin was free in the box. He cut the ball back. Hayes took a touch, took his time, and he really, really had to score. It just went past the post. It has been really impressive football from Celtic. They'll feel with all of their possession, they should be further ahead. And Postecoglou will hammer home the need for them to be ruthless. Aberdeen will be happy they didn't collapse after the early goal. And Goodwin will try and expand on his team's growth into the game. Halftime here, it's Celtic 1, Aberdeen 0.
The fastest goals, the expert opinions. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
What a Sunday it's been already. It was a tense affair as you'd expect in Paisley. Motherwell beat St Mirren by a goal to nil, and then over to Flag Day at Celtic Park. So much pre-match hype, a wonderful display. The fans all looking forward to offering their recognition after last season. And it didn't take Celtic long to get it right on the pitch either. 3 minutes gone when Matt O'Reilly's corner found the head of Stephen Welch. That found the back of the net, and it set Celtic on their way. You would have feared for Aberdeen at that point. Celtic probed and probed and kept pouring forward, and they've been decent at times, but no other goals or really too many chances to show for a first half of dominance. That said, they are in front at the break, Hugh Keevans, and on their way to an opening 3 points.
But Jim Goodwin can be pleased with the way his side have shown the courage to withstand the beginning to the match that had the us fearing for Aberdeen. They're only one down. They have threatened Joe Hart's goal. Johnny Hayes should have hit the target and made it 1-1. Celtic continue to entertain lavishly with their style of play, but they give the impression that sometimes they go in search of the perfect goal when they might be a bit more direct about it. So the second 45 minutes are there for us to enjoy. It's by no means a given. If Celtic get a second goal, I agree with Gordon DL that if they get a second goal, then there's no way that Aberdeen are going to score two or three at Celtic Park. But if there's an equaliser, game on.
Yeah. I've really enjoyed the first 45 minutes here. I really have. It's been a terrific game. You're watching it, Celtic come out of the traps. You're thinking, oh, this is going to be one way street. It's just a case of how many Celtic fans are scoring. And then all of a sudden, and it happens especially early on in the season, a few slack balls, Aberdeen start to get a bit of possession, start to get the ball forward, start to get in behind Celtic. And I totally agree with you. I think when Johnny Hayes gets that chance, his eyes must light up thinking, here I go, I'm going to score against my old team. I'm going to put us back in level terms here. And as Roger said, he's got to score. Me personally, he's got to hit the target at least. And probably if he does that, then I think he gives Joe Hart no chance at all. So that's encouraging for Aberdeen. I think we're in for a bit more in the second half. I'm sure Ange Postecoglou will be saying, listen, we need to up it again. We need to get back on the front foot, cause problems, and get the second goal. That'll kill the game.
Yeah, 2.5 minutes in, you wouldn't have thought we'd be sitting here at half time. It would still just be 1-0, and the next best chance would have fallen to Johnny Hayes. And the last 10 minutes would have been not quite dominated by Aberdeen, but certainly 50-50 with Aberdeen threatening Joe Hart's goal. Celtic have not kicked on the way they would have hoped to have kicked on from Stephen Welch's opening goal. And I agree with you, Daz. I think Ange Postecoglou will be explaining to them in no uncertain terms at the break that they need to start the second half the way they started the first, and then they need to kick on.
Fair play to Stephen Welsh. Very good header, very good cross from Matt O'Reilly.
Yeah, we were picking the bones out the poor defensive play by Aberdeen, but you go back to the positives for Celtic early on. Test the defence, test the goalkeeper. Roger highlighted it. Terrific ball in from Riley, really is. Welsh doesn't need to jump that high, but all he has to do is when he gets there, and he's in one, has got the most desire between everybody in that box, and he guides it brilliantly into that far post. Goalkeeper rooted to the spot, absolutely no chance. And Welsh probably, if Starfelt had been fit today, probably wouldn't even been on the pitch at the beginning, but that's brilliant for a boy. It really is. 3 minutes into the new season, gets opening goal. That does his confidence wonders.
Yeah, and of course, Hugh, it's one of those. That's football for you. You need your moment. Stephen Welsh probably wouldn't have played if Carl Starfelt had been fit. But that's the way the sport works. You take your opportunity, and it didn't take him long.
Although I wonder, Stephen Welsh, as I say, the object of interest from Toulouse last week, wanted him to go there with the option to buy for 3.5 million, but Ange Postecoglou wasn't having it. I just wonder, is the pecking order about to be rejigged? Is it automatic that Carl Starfelt goes back into the team beside Cameron Carter-Vickers? We shall see, but you're doing yourself no harm when you come up with the first league goal of the season.
Yeah, listen, I think it is automatic. I think Starfelt deserves that, given his performances in the title win last season. But Stephen Welsh is doing himself absolutely no harm. And through pre-season and the start of this season, he's well clear of Christopher Julian. I think he's well clear of Maurice Jens as well. And if anything was to befall Starfelt again, or befall Carter Vickers, or even if Ange felt that he wanted to shuffle, you know, now and again to give the players a rest, because it will be a tiring season. There's Champions League football to factor in there as well, Hugh. So the reason he's not going to Toulouse is because Stephen Welsh is valued at Celtic Park.
Okay, halftime break still going on at Celtic Park. Will there be any changes at the break? We'll get the second half. We'll find out the answer to that question next.
Scottish football's league leader. This is Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Still half time at Celtic Park. I think both managers will be relatively happy in their own different ways. Gabriel, so maybe no need to make any changes at the break. Is there anything obvious doing?
No, there's no signs at the moment there'll be any imminent changes, Gordon. But it was interesting that you and the panel were talking about Stephen Welsh. He's really impressed here in this first half. Obviously, you're watching the game on the television, but seeing it in the stadium, the way that he's stepping forward from that left centre-half role, which isn't his natural side, and kind of breaking the lines, feeding it right into the forwards, is really impressive. So it'll be interesting to see when Carl Starfelt does come back into the team, if he can force Welsh straight away back to the bench. Matt O'Reilly, Jota have been really impressive as well, linking up. Really neat play, just not quite having that finer ball. And Kyogo Furuhashe on the toes of the Dons captain, Anthony Stewart. You feel that if he continues like that, he might just get in front of him and have his chance to score. Celtic coming back out now, led by captain Callum McGregor. Don't appear to be any changes at the moment. I'll let you know if that changes. Jim Goodwin keeping his Aberdeen boys in the changing room at the moment. He'll want to build on that 10 minutes they had just before the interval. Really, really improved. Started to threat the goal. We said that Johnny Hayes has to score that chance in the 38th minute. And here they come now, the Dons, led by their new captain, Anthony Stewart. They are coming out to the pitch now, and it doesn't look like there's any changes for them even. So we are as we were in the first half. I can go through the 11s for you now. Celtic are Hart, Juranovic, Carter-Vickers, Welsh, Taylor, McGregor, O'Reilly and Hatate in the midfield three, with Jota, Kyogo and Maeda leading the line. For the visitors, it's Roos, Richardson, Stewart, McCrory, Coulson, Polvara and Ramdani in the middle, with Kennedy, Bezuyan and Hayes in front of them. Miovski leads the line. Matt O'Reilly just doing keepy-ups with the ball at the moment as he waits for referee Nick Walsh to get the second half underway.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Goal flashes with Clyde Built Home Improvements. Canvas Lang showroom now open to the public.
It's just not the type of game, Gordon Dalziel, that either manager would rush into a change at the break. Ange Postecoglou might have frustrations about not making their dominance pay or letting Aberdeen a bit back in, but I think overall they'll be relatively content with where they are, and Jim Goodwin will be content with the way Aberdeen finished that half. So given that there were no injuries, it's not entirely surprising that it's the same 22.
Not at all. Wasn't expecting any changes, unless it was, you quite rightly say, Gordon, maybe a niggle, an injury. You don't take risks at this time of the season. But I think both managers will be pleased with parts of what's happening in the game, especially, you know, the way Celtic got off and running, got the goal. Some of their football was a delight to watch, of course it was. And then Aberdeen sort of grew into the game. Last 10-15 minutes, I think Jim would have found a lot of positives. So I think we're set up for a terrific second half here.
Yeah, Celtic into the box within seconds of the restart, just not quite on the same wavelength as each other down that right hand side, and it goes out for a goal kick. Jim Goodwin scribbling in his notepad. He's spotted something already at the start of the second half.
Two or three moments like that for Celtic in the first half. Gordon, remember the shot by Matt O'Reilly that struck Kyogo and flew wide. There was a couple bumped into each other as well. So if it clicks, it can be spectacular. But just not quite clicking yet for Celtic in that final third.
Well, it's about what Aberdeen do. They've got to show the same kind of forward-going determination that they did in the closing stages of the first half, because subconsciously even Jim Goodwin will know that if Celtic go two up, the game's up. So it's what Aberdeen do, but Celtic, you know, continuing to play good football, but just not yet on the first competitive day of the season, just not yet fully at it.
It's funny how the standards have changed though in a year, isn't it? You remember the chaotic opening game of the season in the last campaign. Of course, that was at Tynecastle. It's an entirely different environment and place to go and all the rest of it. But you've now sort of shifted the criteria against which you judge Celtic.
They've set their own benchmark, as Martin O'Neill used to call it. You know, the benchmark towards the very end of last season was exceptionally high, and people want to see that maintained. And Ange Postecoglou speaks about going to another level, and as I say, that you cannot do anything other than praise them in a fulsome way for the brand of football that they play. But first day of the season, it's not yet clicking into place.
Looking forward to hearing some managerial reaction from Paisley, Roger. I've got a feeling Stephen Robinson will be irked. He's not shy in showing his emotions. He will definitely feel that St Mirren probably should have won the game, never mind, you know, got a point out of it. And they didn't get either of those things. So I think he'll be a very frustrated man.
Yeah, I would agree. If you take this 90 minutes in isolation, Gordon, then he will be a very frustrated man. And if you take the 90 minutes in isolation, I am sure St Mirren fans will have share his frustration, share his annoyance, share his disappointment. But in Scottish football, you can't take things in isolation. And this home defeat for St Mirren to 10-man managerless Motherwell comes very quickly after St Mirren lost 2-0 to League One Airdrie, and very quickly after they lost 1-0 at home to Championship Arbroath. So already there are St Mirren fans questioning Stephen Robinson's managerial acumen.
Yeah, the only positives, we're not privileged to see the game, Gordon. We're hearing the reports coming in from Paisley, from Andrew. You know that St Mirren probably did deserve to win the game, but in the opening game of the season, you get no points. We're watching a team that they got to Pittodrie next week and play against. And, you know, they'll take a lot out of this today, especially fitness as well, sharpness, because this is certainly a very good workout Aberdeen are getting at Celtic Park. And they're holding their own just now, if they can keep in the game. So all of a sudden, you put yourself in the back foot. As much as you can come out and tell the press and the supporters, yeah, we deserve to win the game, we deserve to do this and that, it's all about getting the 3 points, especially early, so you're not chasing and putting yourself under pressure.
Hatate, or Rail, as he has on the back of his strip, has gone down, taking a sore one. Just a late challenge on him. Nick Walsh didn't like it. I don't think the card has come out, but it's
the tailbone.
Oh, it's a sore one, that, isn't it?
Yeah, top of the, yeah, I've had one or
the
two.
The base of the back, top of the back side.
Oh, they are sore. They are very, very sore.
He's also sporting a new blue mouthguard this season, I noticed.
Yeah. Spotted that pre-season,
Didn't have that last season, did he?
I don't think he did. No, I'm not sure they're on sale in the Celtic shop either.
Maybe not. Yeah, maybe not. The Ange jumper will be. He's still
got
that on.
Certainly will.
Do you think that's a new one or just the one from last year? The lucky one?
Surely he must have more. Like you with golf shots. He's bound to have more than one.
Is that a bit of a naughty one from
same colour?
Ramadani Hugh.
I don't know how he's managed to avoid a yellow card for that one. You know, because there was no intent to do anything other than hurt Rio Hatate.
You just can't get the ball in that situation, can you? You can only really clatter into the player, and that's what's happened. I think
thumbs up.
Be fine to continue.
Got the thumbs up there, Gordon, which means it's okay.
Or does it? That mean the same in Japan as it does here?
Yeah,
good.
Thumbs
right.
up. No problems there whatsoever.
That was your universal body language expert, Gordon DL.
We are getting a close up now of the Celtic bench. My money is on new jumper.
I tell you what, my money's on the same trousers and jumper. Because they're as creased this season as they were last. I think Ange just forgot to bring the iron with him from Japan.
Lacking coffee stain down the front, however.
Yeah, listen, doesn't matter what you wear. See, as long as you're getting results and performances, you can stand there with...
It's a bit like you on Beat the Pundit, really, when you think
correct. I'm not at my best this afternoon because of the heat in the studio, but I'm having a good day, so... we'll just move on from that.
Big beat. I forgot to say to you yesterday, big beat the pundit winning Tuesday night.
Fantastic win, Roger. Fantastic. I think I'll be a force to be reckoned with this season.
You've been called many things. I'm not sure about that one. David Turnbull was doing a fairly lengthy warm up, but Rio Hatate has not gone off yet. I think he is going to certainly try and continue. David Turnbull would be the obvious replacement if it doesn't happen.
So we've spoken about referees this weekend, red cards that were given, red cards that were not given but should have been given, and how Ramadani avoided punishment for that challenge on Hatate, I do not know.
I've got to say, I've been encouraged in the last 2 days, Gordon, with the football excitement, the difference, wondering how players are going to settle in at St Johnstone. Today, Motherwell, who were really under a cosh without a manager. Yeah, rode our luck a bit. Of course, you've got to do that in football, getting the points. I look at this Aberdeen team. They could have a good season, which I've seen the evidence of. I've seen so far Celtic playing that slick football. Rangers showing second half yesterday the class that they've got against Livingston. Always difficult to go to. Livingston showing what they're all about in the first half. Hearts winning at home as well. I just feel that we're off to a great start this season, and I think we'll get a lot of excitement.
At Celtic, as we saw a few times last season, Roger, putting a lot of crosses into the box. Maybe not really coming to as much as Ange Postecoglou would like.
No, not at the minute. I think the Aberdeen defence have handled it well so far, with the notable exception of that early corner. As you said, though, this game will be decided by whether or not Aberdeen can do anything with the number of breaks that they get. They didn't have many in the first half hour, 35 minutes, managed a couple before half-time. Johnny Hayes missed a gilt-edged opportunity. We said at the time, that might be as good a chance as Aberdeen get in this game. And up till now, 53 minutes, they've not had a better win, Gordon.
No, they have not. And neither have Celtic, really, since then, you would have to say. As you know, you would expect them to have a lot of the ball. That's not really any great surprise. Hayden Coulson's just trying to get very close to Jota. He's got a few arms round him. I don't know how you can have a few arms round somebody, but it was one or two arms on different occasions.
You borrowed a few.
And there is going to be a free kick to Celtic in a crossing position.
That's frustrating for any manager stroke coach, right? Jota's not going anywhere. Just be touch tight. Just make sure you don't give anything away. You've got O'Reilly coming over there with that terrific left foot of his. They've already been punished early in the first half from a set play. If they do it again, the game's over. The game's away from them. So I think Jim will be very frustrated with that piece of defending.
Free kick. It's certainly going to be whipped in. Maybe one of those that could evade everyone at the back post, but it's a tight angle, and they've gone for the low one. Celtic, it's fired away off an Aberdeen foot. I think it was Hayden Coulson again, and out for a corner kick.
Well, if Celtic can get this second goal, I think it could relax them to the extent that Aberdeen could be in for a very torrid time of it. But the longer it goes on at 1-0, you never know.
Good corner kick again. Stephen Welsh was trying to replicate his first half heroics, but Aberdeen have clearly learned their lesson.
Yeah, I think obviously Jim will highlighted that at half time, Gordon, saying, look, you know, if Celtic have got to score, make them work for it. You know, don't lose goals from set plays. That's the one thing managers hate and coaches, losing goals from set plays, because you work on it the day prior, you work on it probably all week, you give people responsibilities, you know who's going to come up from Celtic, you'll probably know who's going to take the free kick, the corner kick, free kick, wherever it may be. And it's just that lapse of concentration that frustrates managers. And as I say, the modern day game is
great from that, from Juranovic. He strode forward, beat a few challenges, and he caught it, he fairly caught it, but Kjellroos managed to block it away. And he's made another good save, the Aberdeen stopper. Was that a penalty shout from Celtic? Referee says no. Aberdeen players are furious at Rio Hatate for going down.
I'd like to see that again. I think Hatate's favourite there.
Very good save by Kjellroos to start it. Then the ball is actually not a great cross. Has come back in. Stewart wins the next ball. There's then a volley. Roos makes a second save. Hatate goes in. He doesn't really get much. He gets a contact on the ball. Very, very half-hearted. Roos falls on it.
Not giving it, Roger.
I'm not too sure.
No one's making a huge deal of it inside the stadium. The Aberdeen players looked offended that Hatate had gone to ground. He certainly jumped to try and sort of ride the challenge from Anthony Stewart.
I think he's jumped. He's got a shot here. He's lifted the ball. I think he's just jumped because
to be fair, that's
he's
not
avoiding
a
collision. I don't think.
After watching it now, Gordon, yes, I totally agree.
No, it's not a penalty.
No, there's actually no contact until Hatate lands totally on top of Stewart. Actually, when you see it again, I'm
stand corrected here. Just when I seen it at the beginning, I thought he
is it a dive either?
No, he's trying to avoid injury.
Anyway, on we go. Good
well
decision,
done,
Nick
Walsh.
Walsh.
Yeah. Sometimes the referees.
Do you think the new ref outfit suits Nick better than it suited
Awful.
Wally?
Awful.
Gordon's not having it at all. As long as the performances are good, I don't care what they wear out there, Roger. But I think we've got a good second half going here. Celtic on the front foot again. I think they're desperate to get this goal. But Aberdeen look well organised. I think Jim's really got them up for it as well. So cracking second half in progress.
I wonder what the challenge of preparing for a season like this is like, Roger, if you're Aberdeen. Because I'm sure if you're Jim Goodwin, you've recruited all summer to play a certain way, you've done all your pre-season training to play a certain way, but then the fixture computer hands you a trip to Celtic Park and you need to go and do something different on the first game of the season. I guess that's the unique nature of our league, because we've got the two big teams that are far stronger than everyone else, but it must be a challenge.
To be fair, they've tried not to do something different. You know, we hark back to the Livingston game yesterday, where we were just saying David Martindale prepared Livingston specifically for that fixture, specifically for having 10% possession and having 10 men behind the ball almost at all times. Jim Goodwin's not done that today. You know, he's come with the same formation, he's come with a 4-2-3-1. They've lost a goal after 2.5 minutes, but they've tried to play. Yes, they're going to be starved of possession because it's Celtic at Celtic Park, but when they've had the ball, they've tried to be offensive, they've tried to get forward, they've tried to carry a threat to Joe Hart's goal.
It's a nice cross from Celtic. I actually think Maeda gets it all wrong. He's almost headed it back across goal when he was going for the target, and there was a lot of power on the cross, Gordon. He probably should have done better.
Yeah, it was great build up. They get into the right hand side, Gordon, got plenty of width, and the ball's played in brilliantly. I don't know if Maeda just gets, you know, it doesn't time his jump well, but he seems to get his head on it. Dangerous moments for Aberdeen there.
Yeah, Hugh, Celtic are now looking more likely. We said at the end of the first half that threat had gone, but that's a couple of good chances.
Yeah, Aberdeen looked at the start of the second half as if they thought they could go after an equaliser, but at the moment they're hemmed in. I just wonder how long Ange Postecoglou will give it before he might consider Giakoumakis, though.
Yeah, we said about the number of crosses, Roger, and if you're doing that, he's shown he's very good at getting on the end of them. 28 crosses so far for Celtic.
I tend to agree with you. Giakoumakis could be the obvious introduction. If Giakoumakis comes on, who goes off? Because Celtic, for me, always carry a greater threat when Keogh goes on the park.
That's been quiet today, though, hasn't he?
He has, but It's still quite a substitution to be taking Kyogo off.
Well, you would probably say light for light, Roger, because you can't really think Kyogo off the flank isn't as effective for me. Maeda and Jota are probably the best. I think he may introduce Abada.
I was going to say, have Maeda. He's more likely to take Maeda off than Jota, isn't he? Has he done enough to stay on?
Not for me just now, but you know he's one of those these players that can just burst into life, Gordon. Especially that pace that he's got that troubles defenders and teams. But if he was making a substitution, I tend to agree with the lads. Jackie Marcus will be desperate to go on. He's been terrific. And I think Abada may be the choice if he decides to go against Maeda.
There's an element now of Celtic doing the same thing over and over and over again and coming up with the same result over and over and over again. So, you know, time to perhaps change the way you go about it.
It's probably their best spell in a while though, isn't it? Celtics.
But still no threat to the goal.
Well, Keller Roos just made a double save about 5 minutes ago.
Well, that's 5 minutes ago.
Right, but okay. we've reached that hour mark. This is the time, the next few minutes, when Ange is prone to make
changes. Well, every
changes.
Manager is, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely. So could it be Giacomakis? Could it be Abada? Could it be David Turnbull? You know, Hatate took that knock for the challenge from Ramadani a few minutes ago. Could it be Turnbull for Hatate? I think it's Aberdeen, in fact, who are looking to be the first one to make some changes.
Yeah, if the UEFA Women's Euro final is your thing, it's halftime. England 0, Germany 0. As Roger says, though, double change for Aberdeen. The Duke is coming on. Who else is that alongside him? Can't quite see yet, but on he comes. Duke
Kennedy was one of the subjects.
Yeah, Matty Kennedy. Yeah. And the other one is Roberts. He was just sees the most recent signing, I think. Yeah, Callum Roberts, Notts County. Again, paid a small,
well,
a decent 100,000. I've got to put my neck in the line and say, when Ange Postecoglou makes his substitution, it'll not be one. I'll probably be two or three. I think he'll really freshen up. I think that's the kind of manager he is.
Well, here comes Callum McGregor, edge of the box. It's blocked. It's an important block because it opened up far too easily, if you're Jim Goodwin, for Callum McGregor. He did well, but the shot was blocked again. Celtic are striding forward with a bit more frequency than they were.
You see a lot of this now, Daz, the multiple substitutions, because you've got five to work with and only three windows in which to introduce them, you know. So it's no surprise that Jim Goodwin's put two on together. And I agree with you. I think Ange Postecoglou might do the same thing.
Yeah, because it's not the fact that it's with Celtic, it's numbers, it's the quality they've got. You know, you can replace people like midfield with Turnbull, Giacomakis, Abada, Forrest, you know, people like that. You can come on and turn games and win games for you, although we know they're winning 1-0. But that second goal just gives them that cushion, that comfort blanket.
The way things are going in this league, James is fast becoming known as Alan Forrest's big brother, because it's Alan that's making all the headlines, isn't it?
It's true. There's Real Hatate down again, so I don't know if
blood in his mouth.
Time is up for him or not. We'll have another look at that. I didn't see anything initially. I think there was an aerial challenge, certainly.
Johnny Hayes, is it?
It's actually on the way down. He just catches the top of the head. Is that the Duke?
I think he's landed on the Duke.
Nothing worse.
You don't want to land on the Duke.
Yeah, nothing untoward. He's just caught the head of Duke on the way down.
Yeah, accidental. It's obviously a sore one, Gordon.
Especially when he's presumably getting that expensive dental work or whatever it is done in the summer, and he's wearing the gum shield.
Nothing
yeah, it's
worse.
Quite a lot of blood there, I think, in the mouth.
Here he comes.
Here's Giacomakis.
Yeah, if I had a build like that, I'd walk about with him. I'd be standing in here with my top off.
And Turnbull.
Yeah, imagine the damage you'd do with a spilled coffee.
Yeah.
Jeez, just wondered where that was going there. I'm delighted that we moved on. Yeah, Giacomakis and Turnbull are going to come on for Celtic. So we'll see. It might be the end of Rio Hatate anyway.
Who will he take off up the forward line? That's what you've got to ask your question. Will it be Kyogo? Straight swap? Or will he tweak one or two things? Has he got a different
Wanda Bada.
I told you. The
he's
three
a triple sub for Celtic. Not bad players to be bringing on. Hugh
Maeda, Kyogo, Hatate.
All those hours in Melbourne, that dressing room has paid off. Sitting with Ange, I knew he would make the treble substitution.
All those hours, all one and a half of them.
No, don't start that gone with a lot of training session, a lot of bonding.
This needs to be the season that we like, he's quite a standoffish character, but this needs to be the season that we ask him if he remembers Gordon.
I think there's no doubt he'll remember.
I think there's plenty.
I made
of
a
doubt.
Big impact when I went to Melbourne. I was on the front page
you
of the papers.
You sent home after 2 weeks because
you didn't turn up
for training.
No, I did. 6 weeks I stayed.
6 weeks.
Right. They didn't know that, but I stayed 6 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
Weeks.
You didn't stay at the football club for 6 weeks.
Well, I spent a lot of time with Jason Donovan and people like that, you know.
Natalie Imbruglia.
No, Jason and what do you call the other one? The wee one, the wee singer.
Kylie Minogue.
Kylie Minogue, that's the very one. Jason and Kylie.
The wee singer.
Yeah, Neighbours. They were Neighbours at the
and
time.
And were you satisfied with the ending to Neighbours the other night? Someone actually tweeted me to say, can you ask Gordon Dalziel what he made of the end of Neighbours?
I actually lived round the corner from Ramsey.
Right, stop this stuff. Just
that's 100%.
Just tell us what you made of Neighbours. We'll move on. Let's move on. Jota, Maeda and Kyogo have gone off, certainly. Giakoumakis and Abada have come on. And is the last one Hitati for Turnbull?
Yeah, I think it is.
Oh, you've got to feel sorry for him. Whatever he's got going on with the, is it dental work or whatever in the summer? See, that seems to be where he's picked up the injury. You think you wear the gum shields? What are the chances?
With regard to Kyogo, you know, if it's not happening for you, then, you know, the manager's entitled to take him off. You know, I know he's the revered player in the eyes of the Celtic fans, but it wasn't happening for him. And Giakoumakis gives a different dimension.
Rio Hatate looks in real discomfort as he's coming off there. He's got sort of, what do you call that?
Wadding or something.
Yeah, he's got something in his mouth, certainly, to try and stem the flow of blood. He looks in pain.
Yeah, so triple change for Celtic. We're enjoying not a bad spell, actually, that double save from Kelleher-Roos. A couple of other crosses into the box. Still nothing really doing in front of goal, but Aberdeen have probably dropped out it again, Gordon, back to the sort of early first half.
Yeah, and that's credit to Celtic. I think that the manager's asked for a response in the second half just to up the pace again and ask questions. But we keep going back to, it's a cliche in football. They're still in this game. They've got to make sure that they don't give anything away cheap. It could be a set play at the end. Listen, if you say to Jim Goodwin just now, I'll give you a 1-1, you'll shake your hand, blow the whistle and go home.
Oh, nice pass from David Turnbull to try and set Abada away. The ball almost wasn't going as fast as he thought it was. He almost left it behind. And when the cross comes in, it doesn't come to anything. But that's what we'll see David Turnbull do. Gordon, try and, you know, spin those balls down the channel and allow Abada to get on the end of them.
Look, I'm not denying. I'm a massive fan of Turnbull. I've watched his career since he was a young kid at Motherwell. Come through. I tried to actually get him at Airdrie and Motherwell wouldn't let us.
Funny that.
They decided, no, we want to make money in this boy. Don't want to lose money. But he's a terrific talent. Great, can see a pass, and I'll tell you another thing. Can score a goal. Right, let's not get kiddied here. He can score a goal, but he's in there with some great competition. I think it could be a big season for him. I think he's determined to get in there and take on the challenge. You know, you've got Hatate, O'Reilly, for instance, McGregor, that was the three that started today. You've got to be banging form to replace them, but he's certainly got the ability.
Greg Taylor's taken a sore one. He slid in and he just poked the ball away. Nothing untoward at all, just an accidental collision down the right hand side of Celtic. Actually, did they get that decision?
Yeah, Walsh gave the free kick against Jaden Richardson there.
So they're still looking for the goal that decides the game, and still at risk of the goal that gives them a bad start to the first competitive match of the league season.
Yeah, still 25 minutes probably all in left in this one. So we'll keep an eye on everything that happens. We'll get you some reaction to the game in Paisley as well. Here's Jota, curls one, misses the top corner.
Should have hit the target again.
He'd have fancied that. He'd have stretched there to control that. But the minute he got it on the stretch, Hugh, I think he would have fancied that. That curler into the top corner. As I say, it was a good stretch. He got there. He's got the opportunity to line it up. I think with the quality he's got, I think he would be disappointed.
Yeah, Turnbull again, the creator, but he'll think he should have done better, Jota, won't he?
Yeah, of course he will. As I say, he hasn't had the greatest of games, not the kind of games that...
Has Turnbull just struggled with his hamstring there? Did I see him pulling up?
He did sort of pull up slightly.
Yeah, I just seen him out the pitcher going, hopefully he's okay. He's just on the pitch. That would be an absolute nightmare for the boy.
Here's Giakoumakis into the box. It's actually really well defended. Ross McCrory, it was bouncing around all over the place. And Greg Taylor's going to try and bring Celtic away again. They've got lots of bodies in the box. There's Jota, fires it across and it goes just wide. Celtic really, really knocking at the door, but Aberdeen are standing up to it.
I think Aberdeen's defending has been brilliant, because Celtic are asking a lot of questions. Getting in behind them too easy for me. And all of a sudden, that's a terrific ball, great run, that's good defending. Is Turnbull in trouble here?
He's done well, McCrory, in there, because this will be the first he's played with Anthony Stewart. He's certainly the first he's played with Hayden Coulson the other side of him. He's been through the League Cup campaign playing in central midfield. He scored that smashing goal against Raith. He's only back there because Liam Scales can't play against Celtic. But he's looking as comfortable as a visiting centre half at Celtic Park can look.
Let's give you some reaction from the game in Paisley. Stephen Robinson first, the home boss. He felt, I'm sure, that they should have taken something from the game. Here's what he made of it.
We've created so many chances. We've met a goalkeeper in absolutely inspired form. You know, I have to say, it's a long time since I've seen a goalkeeper's performance of that calibre. But from my point of view and our players, I can't ask a whole lot more. You know, as a manager, it's hard to go find a fault with that performance. You know, it was a penalty. It was a penalty. Harry seen it from his angle. That was my question. But it was a penalty. It was their only shot on target, I believe. And we totally dominated the game. You know, we totally dominated the chances, the crosses. If we're being highly critical of ourselves, we should hit the target with more of them. You know, we had opportunities where we didn't test Liam Kelly. I'm not sure we would have scored anyway with the form that he was in. But like going forward, that's the best performance I've seen from the squad. I think all the new players were very, very good. Ran Strain, Keanu Backus, they've got a heck of a chance of going to the World Cup if they play with that kind of energy and quality. Jonah Junga, there's a lot of positives, and it's not often here that people stay and give you a standing ovation after the game. So anywhere, at any football ground, because everyone's dictated to by results. But I think they've seen the effort, the quality, the chances created, and sometimes it just doesn't go your way.
You've been linked with the Motherwell job. Any comment on that?
Yeah, it's not true in any shape or form. I mean, I find it incredible in the modern society that people can put things in writing and it be believed with no repercussions. It unsettles everybody. At St Mirren, I'm totally committed to St Mirren. And listen, this club has not been in the top six for, is it 26 years? And I'm totally committed to working our socks off to try and change that. It's a tough job. It's a tough challenge. But certainly my focus is on nowhere else but here.
That'll be that then, Hugh Keevans.
Well, yeah, but I don't think there's any way back from that statement by Stephen Robinson. Interesting comment about the penalty. Yes, it was a penalty, but I don't know how he saw it. He's admitted it was a penalty. You can't then complain about it. How did he manage to see it, though? So, anyway, he's frustrated. He's understandably frustrated. He's entitled to say what he wanted to say. But at the end of the day, he didn't get anything out of the game, and that's the worry.
Can't fault the performance, he says.
I think what he's taking out of the game, Hugh, is a lot of positives. And there is the performance. He's talking there that the fans stayed behind to clap the players off because of their efforts. We're just hearing reports. Obviously, we weren't there, but by all reports, he should have got something, deserved something. But you're right, because you put that aside, you go up to Aberdeen next week and you don't get anything from that. You're chasing your tail and you're under pressure.
Well, I can fault the performance, Gordon. They didn't score a goal. If you don't score a goal, you're not going to win a game of football. And that's this, you know, that's the harsh realities of it. A standing ovation for the St Mirren fans, perhaps, that only goes so far. You know, so far this season, they're out the League Cup when they were seeded to get through to the last 16, and they've lost at home to managerless 10-man Motherwell.
Did the distancing himself from the Motherwell speculation, was that convincing enough for you?
Yeah, I think, to be fair to him, I think you have to take him at his word. If he says he's not going to be the next Motherwell manager, then we have to believe that he's not going to be the next Motherwell manager. Who is going to be the next Motherwell manager? I don't think any of us can say for sure. But listen, Stephen Hamill hasn't done himself any harm today, has he?
Yeah, we'll hear from him very soon as well. Celtic had another decent chance, worked it well down the right. I think it was Abada that stung the palms of Kel Roos as they come forward again, and Aberdeen defend well. It's just taking on a very similar pattern, Hugh. Aberdeen are not really offering much of an attacking threat anymore. Celtic have all the ball, all the efforts at goal, but nothing really that would get you too excited or make you think that the goal's absolutely imminent.
No, that there's 20 minutes probably left in this game, and if I were a Celtic fan inside the ground, I'd be slightly uneasy. As Celtic
not anymore.
Don't you?
with Clyde Built Home Improvements.
A new season, the same Hugh Keevan's predictions. Jota has just rifled one into the top corner from 25 yards. And if they were uneasy, they won't be anymore. 74 and a half gone. It may well be goal of the weekend to kick things off. It was an absolute stunner. Turnbull rolled it into him. He just took a few touches, skipped away from a challenge, and unleashed an unstoppable effort into the top corner. And that should be that.
I now feel the same way that Roger felt yesterday when he confessed that he had put John Souther down to be player of the year just after he had a horrible day. And I'm very glad that in my predictions for the season I said that Jota would be the player of the year. That is a stunning finish. It is the kind of thing that he was bought for. And that ends the game. There's no way that Aberdeen will come back after that body blow.
Just you be careful.
No, just in case. No, not even I could get that wrong.
Right, Hugh, well, I went along with you with the player of the year. I put Jota down as well. I think it's a big season for him. I said earlier, just what, 10 minutes prior when he got a great opportunity, I thought he'll be disappointed because the ability he's got, he would have fancied that. Well, I'll tell you what, he certainly fancied that one, and he left the goalkeeper with no chance.
As we said yesterday, Hugh, we've started the weekend at Livingston with lines thicker than regulation.
Correct.
We've finished it in here with pundits who are clearly thicker than regulation.
Celtic, I mean, they have looked confident throughout the second half, so that was just what was sometimes needed, Gordon. If you can't get to the byline and find one of those crosses of, you know, the many ones that they put into the box, why not lash it into the top corner from 25 yards?
Do you know where they've been in the second half, Gordon? They've been very patient, I've got to say. They've got any good positions, put balls in there. You look at games last and you think, oh, is the second goal got to come? Look, flip the coin. Aberdeen, I don't think, have had one shot at Joe Hart. You know, and Celtic have been dominant second half. They play and then they bring on the three substitutes. But Jota, as I said earlier, he had the same sort of a chance, went for the different corner, the other corner, sorry, and he was disappointed. He certainly won't be disappointed now because that's what he's capable of. All of a sudden, you're looking for that goal, that spark. He provides it. That is top class.
Yeah, he sort of picked up where he left off last season, Roger. He scored 3 in Celtic's last 5 games of the campaign, you'll remember, I'm sure. And, you know, 13 overall in his 40 appearances. So he's back in amongst the goals nice and early.
Yeah, he's a terrific talent. I think, you know, when the 1 hour show started this summer, Celtic fans were phoning in, Gordon, demanding transfers, as all fans do. They want to get new players in the door. And I think we all agreed at the time, Celtic's priority in the summer spending spree had to be securing Cameron Carter-Vickers on a permanent deal and had to be securing Jota on a permanent deal. There's an element of gamble any time you sign a new player. But having seen what Carter-Vickers and Jota did last season, there's no gamble going and spending that money because you know they're going to be valuable to your team. And Jota, inside 90 minutes of this season, has shown his value to Celtic.
Corner though, to Aberdeen, maybe a chance to mix things up a bit. They've not had, in fact, have they had any?
I can't remember any.
Sure, Johnny Hayes, who missed the golden chance that Aberdeen had in the first half, he's going to try and deliver. All the big men are up. McCrory is in there. Anthony Stewart, the new skipper, is in there as well. And it does come in. It's a decent ball in. It's similar, really, to the one that Celtic scored in the first half. But Giakoumakis tries to hack it clear and Aberdeen make a mess of it. They really should have.
They're in trouble now.
Managed to close the door. Jota goes first time and into the box. A heavy touch. I think it's David Turnbull at the back post. If his touch had been better, it could have been a proper gloss on the scoreline. It was a devastating counter-attack from Celtic, but Aberdeen really their own worst enemy there, weren't
well,
they?
Well, they're out the game. They've got to take risks now, Gordon. That'll play into the pace and the movement of Celtic. And within 2 or 3 passes, if Turnbull takes a better touch, it'd probably have been 3-0. I don't blame Jim Goodwin, Aberdeen. You may as well go and try and get back in the game. It was a set play, but the way that Celtic they break up the park with the pace, that's a great ball in. It's very early, causes problems. Turnbull's
touch, almost like he doesn't anticipate that the last Aberdeen defender's going to miss it, which you have to do obviously in those situations.
Yeah, it's just maybe it's just a poor for Turnbull, which is very unusual. It's a poor touch, but I get back to Hugh highlighting about the difference in money and 200,000 to what Celtic brought Jota for. But that's what you get for your money. That's why you pay the big, big money, because that's the sort of ability and the talent that you get.
Yeah, not a bad finish for the opening weekend of the season. And Celtic, well, I think they looked comfortable before now, Hugh, but there was always the possibility of the sting in the tail. That should be gone.
Whoever is choosing goal of the weekend on tomorrow night's programme, I think they've only one choice now. So Jota celebrates the signing on a permanent deal at Celtic Park with a goal that I'm sure lifted everyone out of every seat inside the stadium, and finished the afternoon as a contest.
Yeah, 10 minutes to go. So is there a chance for Celtic to add to that, put a bit of gloss on the scoreline, or maybe Aberdeen to mix it up and make things a bit more interesting towards the end of the game?
As it stands, this two goal win would be enough to put Celtic top of the league after the first weekend, where they finished last season and have immediately laid down the gauntlet to everyone else.
Corner to Celtic, a lost count of the step overs from Jota there. He's obviously feeling confident, and it goes out for a corner. Is this a training ground one from Celtic? It's interesting. I don't know if it had to go back to Turnbull there. O'Reilly, was it? I just maybe picked the wrong pass. It was nice initially.
As I say, they always go in search of the perfect goal, and just too many people getting involved there.
Greg Taylor's going to be booked. I think they call that taking one for the team, don't they? A so-called good foul. You hear that mentioned. Great pace, Ross McCrory's striding away from Juranovic first of all, and Greg Taylor just hauls him down.
Yeah, certainly a yellow card, no arguments whatsoever there, Gordon. I think Postecoglou will be delighted with his afternoon's work, as he's making more substitutions here.
Ralston and Moy.
And Moy getting a first look at Celtic Park competitively. He's getting his instructions from Gavin Strachan. Of course, Harry Kewell is now on the bench for Celtic. Not on the bench in that regard, but as part of the coaching staff.
Yeah, and I think Ange Postecoglou, I think he'd been looking for a while to freshen things up. He was impressed by John Kennedy, by Gavin Strachan, Stephen McManus, all of the guys he inherited a year ago. But I just think, he's spoken about it himself, he just wanted a fresh voice on the training ground, something a little bit different. You mentioned earlier on, Gordon, he wants to take Celtic to another level. And I think, you know, to do that, you can't stand still. You always need to try and progress, to try and keep things fresh. And it's not just a case of freshening it up on the pitch. Here's a new signing coming on in Aaron Moy. It's a case of freshening it up off the pitch as well.
Yeah, Matt O'Reilly started the game well, Gordon, but maybe faded.
Faded, yeah. Tired, he looked a bit tired there near the end, Gordon, but I'm sure he'll be happy with his afternoon's work and performance. He started off with a terrific ball in for the set play.
Yeah, Joe Hart almost caught out from a deflection on the head of his own player. It was Aberdeen headed it towards goal. Tried to be blocked on its way to Joe. Was it Callum McGregor?
Callum McGregor, I think it might
have
been.
I think it was, and he's just almost caught out his own goalkeeper.
That's getting in.
I'm interested to see Aaron Moy here. I like him, what I've seen of him. Don't get me wrong, I know I've not seen a lot of him. It's mostly on TV down in England. He's had a good career. I think he's got good ability. I think he's certainly got something to add to that Celtic midfield.
First ever so-called big game I got sent to for this very show many, many years ago alongside Hugh Keevans was that game. Remember Aaron Moy lashed one into the top corner
against Rangers?
Against Rangers.
Yeah.
Was it Christmas Eve or something?
Yeah,
round about that time. That wasn't yesterday. He's got even less hair now than he did then.
Yeah, don't we all?
No comment. He is in the middle of the pitch for Celtic just now, looking to get on it. Indeed he does. Gets his first couple of touches. Keeps it simple.
Clearly still well short of full match fitness.
Have you noticed that? You have. It's the first thing I picked up. He's taking a touch and just passing it four yards. Of course.
He seriously just judged his fitness on that. No, you can.
He's admitted himself, hasn't he? He was out in the sort of West End Park and among the dog walkers and the kids playing in the bikes just to try and keep a level of fitness. But that's nothing like the level of fitness he'll need to play for Celtic.
Yeah, I think it's great to get some game time. Celtic are comfortable now, and they'll nurse him along, get that sharpness. The everyday training will help him as well, because they train at a very high pace, and you know, it'll not be long before he's up to speed, and he's a good addition to the squad because he's got a terrific left peg.
Yeah, ball into the box, but Kelleher comes and gets it fairly easily. So there will be no third for Celtic at the moment.
Well, I mean, Ange Postecoglou, he'll regret whatever's happened to Reo Hatate. You know, he'll need to get dental work done. He looked in pain, as Roger said.
Well, here's Giakoumakis, and he somehow put it past the post. He was under a bit of pressure from the Aberdeen backline, but he's got to hit the target from there. He's 6 yards out at the most. He's got the goal at his mercy.
He's done a Johnny Hayes. Same goal.
No, it's worse.
Same chance.
Oh, it's worse.
Yeah. Same part, the wrong side of the post.
Well, I'm shocked with that. I don't know what he's thinking of there. It's the simplest task of just putting that to the side of the goalkeeper. A man of his quality. And do you know something? I bet he sits tonight and thinks, that'd be a great opportunity just to get my opening goal of the season. Because I keep going back to it, no matter what level you play, you as a centre forward, the most important thing the beginning of the season is get your first goal.
I know I'm going to regret asking this. What was the longest you had to wait at the start of a season?
Oh, probably the train went by 3:10 at Kirkcaldy. I always got on the goal scoring sheet there. I played St Mirren the first game, scored a hat, so I was disappointed. I should have 4.
You do know I'm going to check these statistics.
You can look at it. We beat them 7-0. They came at Stars Park.
Who's this for?
For Raith Rovers. And we beat them 7-0 and I scored 3. So you can check that one.
I actually do remember that.
Yeah.
Well, the
opening
of the
day of the 92-93 season was the dawn of the Raith Rovers glory era, according to fifetoday.co.uk.
7-0?
It was indeed.
Who scored?
You got the first.
And how many more?
Jason Dare, Ronnie Coyle, Craig Brewster. Don't see any more of yours.
No, I think you will, yeah. To put your contacts in the right way, you'll probably see 3.
All right, I thought you were doing your best Charlie Nicholas impersonation there, was it?
What does that mean?
Never mind.
No, but I get back to it, and without jokingly, it is. As a centre forward, you want that first goal, it's great to get it. It takes a bit of pressure off you. And Giakoumakis will be sitting tonight thinking, what an opportunity that was.
Yeah, you get the goal of the weekend from Jota, you've got the howl of the weekend from Giakoumakis. The result of the weekend, well, you can argue over that one.
His real strength tends to be those instinctive ones, though, doesn't it? The one touch finish, when it's flashed across to the front post. I don't know if he had a bit too much time or something, but yeah, he should have done better.
Yeah, he's been in terrific form. He would have fancied that. Maybe just a bit too casual, you know, because it maybe too confident, thinking, yeah, I'll just slide this by the goalkeeper.
I'll tell you what, I've seen your first that day. That's exactly what you did. Good run. Slid it past the goalkeeper near post.
I
can't even imagine you running. It's the weirdest thing to watch footage of it.
I don't think I did run. I think my third is an absolute peach, Gordon. I'll tell you who's the goalkeeper, Campbell Money, and I swear, I think he's still standing there waiting for it. I think if you go to Stats Park tonight, he'll be standing there with his gloves on.
I genuinely can't imagine him running.
Look at the third. The third's a delight.
All right, give it a rest. We're trying to watch Celtic Aberdeen at the moment, and there's a header from Giakoumakis that goes wide of the post as well.
Well, as I say, you have to cut them some slack. You know, Johnny Hayes, Giakoumakis, the longer the season goes, I mean, Giakoumakis, once his eye is in, we'll be scoring goals like that, but we're looking at a rerun of Jota, and it gets better every time you see it.
Yes, it's a delight, Hugh. It's an absolute delight. As I say, he was disappointed with his first one into the opposite corner, but made no mistake whatsoever. Gave the goalkeeper the eyes and decided top corner, goalkeeper full stretch, two hands out there, didn't get anywhere near it. Top class finish.
I've just seen the third.
Nice, eh?
Deflection?
No, it wasn't deflection.
Are you sure? To loop it over the goalie? Get me wrong, the only thing that's available is grainy footage, but
was it not a curler?
That was nice, yeah. You opened up the body into the top corner.
Yeah.
Sort of Harry Kane-esque from the friendly Kane at Ibrox a couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it takes a nick, but it's only available in VHS.
You will never give me credit.
It's been uploaded to YouTube via Betamax or something, so it's quite difficult to tell.
Is it in black and white? News?
It's grainy to say the least.
The feather cut, everything was there.
89 gone then at Celtic Park. There's going to be no twist in this one, Hugh, you wouldn't imagine.
No. I mean, Ange Postecoglou, There'll be pluses and minuses for him. But all that mattered was getting a win at home in front of the big crowd, first day of the season. Now it's about Ross County away next Saturday.
I think he'll be delighted, Gordon. I really do. You got off to the perfect start. Yes, you can nitpick a little bit and say, well, Aberdeen for 10, 15 minutes just before half time. But Johnny Hayes, you're not going to dominate the game for 90 odd minutes without the opposition getting a chance. Johnny Hayes misses a glorious chance to put Aberdeen level, but Celtic have been dominant here.
The ball comes to Jota. Pretty sure he had time to take it down in the box, but instead decides Hollywood to go for the acrobatic effort, which ends up nowhere near it.
You can do that 2-0 up as the game goes into added time, Gordon.
Yeah, he wanted the Hollywood finish, but you're right, he had the ample time to bring it down and have a simpler finish. But if you're an entertainer, you're an entertainer.
2 minutes, no, 4 minutes, sorry, added on at Celtic Park. Still 2-0 to Celtic. We will give you more reaction from the game in Paisley as well. And in fact, as soon as this game finishes, the open line will be here. So Celtic fans, let us know what you've made of the opening day of the season. Pick up the phone and let us know. If you want to get something off your chest about the game in Paisley or the games yesterday, you are more than welcome to do so as well. So get ready, 01419511025. In fact, call in right now, why don't you, and speak to producer Chris. You can get ahead of the game. Nothing really happening. Celtic still trying to press to an extent and get forward. Aberdeen,
I'm just thinking, have we seen enough of Aberdeen today to convince us that they're certainly going to have a really successful season, as in
quite
getting
well
in that top four, getting a good run the cup.
This is what we said earlier though about, you know, how is this a barometer anyway, when you next week you'll be required to be way more proactive, way more
Beats
creative.
Yeah, totally agree with that.
I don't
that.
Know how many clues you get, but they have been organised to an extent, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they have. I think they've worked very hard as well. They had to work very hard today because Celtic have moved the ball terrifically well at times.
Nice pass, Aaron Moy. Not a nice touch, Giakoumakis, but the move hasn't broken down just yet. Turnbull to Jota on the edge. He just tries to thread it through the eye of a needle. Aaron Moy just not quite on his toes to get to that one.
To answer your question, if you'll go to Celtic Park in a day like this, packed, the title flag's just been unfurled, and you lose a goal after 2.5 minutes, some teams would collapse. Some teams would go into their shell. Some teams would lose 5 or 6 or 7. The last league game at Celtic Park, Motherwell lost 6. So I think Aberdeen, they'll be disappointed they've come away and haven't got anything at all from the opening day of the season. But going up that road tonight, I think Jim Goodwin will be quietly satisfied that a lot of the newcomers weren't overawed and didn't go into their shell and kept playing. Even now in the 93rd minute, they're playing inside Celtic's half. So I think Aberdeen will be okay.
I there's not a lot there I can disagree with, but I take on board what Gordon's saying. Next week against St Mirren, at home, you're expected to win. And you're expected, especially after, you know, looking organised, new players settling in. You know what like it is at Pittodrie? St Mirren are off to a poor, poor start. All of a sudden the pressure changes. Today I don't think a lot of Aberdeen fans would probably think that they would go to Celtic Park and pick up 3 points.
England have just taken the lead against Germany in the Women's Euro final. 62 minutes on the clock. Lovely lobbed finish over the keeper, and as you would imagine, that has gone down well with the home support. There's even royalty on their feet applauding that one. So England 1-0 up on Germany in the big game down there. Celtic 2-0 up on Aberdeen. Pretty much done. We're in the final minute of the four added on. If Celtic really want to, I suppose they could try and make this attack count, but there don't seem to be in any rush. In fact, the ball had gone out of play before it got to Jota. So I think that will pretty much be that. We'll get the eyewitness account from Gabriel in just a second, and it will be an opening day victory for Ange Postecoglou and Celtic. What have you made of it? What have you made of today's football? What about yesterday's games as well? Pick up the phone, please, and let us know. We're here until 7 o'clock and we would love to speak to you. So we're just awaiting that final whistle. It is seconds away at Celtic Park. Kelleroos is at a fairly busy league debut for Aberdeen. He just had to come off his line and head one away there, but I'm pretty sure Nick Walsh is just looking at the watch more than anything as Johnny Hayes tries to scamper forward. There might be a late chance for Aberdeen. It's a great recovery challenge though from Cameron Carter-Vickers. It goes out for a corner. If we've got time to take it, I think we will. So you never know. They might manage to snatch something. It's not going to be a point, Hugh, but a goal at best.
I think Celtic will be satisfied with their day's work. With every hurdle that comes along, you look to get a bit better, better still. They're certainly in a better position day one of this season than they were day one of last season. They have gone after perfection, and you can't blame them for that. Sometimes it has come in the form of Jota's goal. Sometimes it has been short of what's required. But the game's over now.
It is over. Full time at Celtic Park. Let's get the story from Gabriel.
Yeah, full time here at Celtic Park, and it's Celtic 2, Aberdeen 0. Stephen Welsh's early header and Jota's thunderous strike ensure the champions begin their title defence with 3 points. It was electric here before kickoff, a spectacular full stadium display as captain Callum McGregor unfurled the league flag for last season's achievements, and the players channeled that emotion from the crowd. They were 1-0 up within 3 minutes. A great glancing header from Welsh after an in-swinging corner. It was a dream start for the Hoops and a nightmare for Jim Goodwin's men. Celtic were fully on top. Akiogo slid the ball just past the post from a slightly overhit O'Reilly cross. Jota also had the ball in the back of the net, but he was clearly offside. It was all Celtic until the final 10 minutes of the first half. Aberdeen grew into the game. In the 38th minute, they had their golden opportunity of the match. Former Celt Johnny Hayes really, really had to score after a cutback 10 yards out, and he just slid it past the post. At half-time, you thought perhaps Aberdeen could capitalise on that, but they failed to do so. 10 minutes into the second half, Keller Roos had to make a great double save from Juranovic and O'Reilly before Hatate went down under the challenge from Captain Stewart. The referee, Nick Walsh, waved it away. Celtic were back in full control of the game, but they couldn't find a way through. The game had gone a little flat until the 75th minute when the fans were on their feet again. Jota received the ball 25 yards out. He got it out of his feet and hit a thunderous strike across the goal into the top left-hand corner. What a strike. Certainly the goal of the weekend, and that sealed the 3 points. And there was a heavy touch from Turnbull, which failed to make a swift counter-attack count. And then Giakoumakis missed an absolute sitter, even worse than Hayes's. That was from 6 yards out. That would have capped off the win with 5 minutes to go. But it is job done for the defending champions. Full-time here at Celtic Park, it's Celtic 2, Aberdeen 0.
All right, come on then. What did you make of that, Celtic fans? Pick up the phone and let us know. 0141 951 1025. Were you impressed? Who stood out for you? Was there anything you'd like to see fine-tuned? Please do get your thoughts across. There was an interesting game between St Mirren and Motherwell. We can reflect on that as well. And of course, loads of talking points from yesterday into the bargain. 0141 951 1025. We'll speak to you next.
After the action, it's your reaction. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
And just like that, the opening weekend of the new league season is over. It's 0141 951 1025 if you want to let us know your thoughts on it. All in all, Hugh, I think it's been good. Very generally, it's been enjoyable, and capped off with that Celtic win against Aberdeen today.
Yeah, it's been a very entertaining day of football, as was yesterday's. Celtic will be delighted. Symbolically, they go back to the top of the league table, which is where they have been for quite some time now. It's 33 league wins with, or 33 league games without a loss, if you take in last season into account. A magnificent goal from Jota to symbolise his arrival at Celtic Park on a full-time contract. We've had Stephen Welsh getting a goal again to symbolise the fact that Ange Postecoglou wanted to keep him at Celtic Park and not send him into French football with Toulouse. Obviously there were things that didn't come off for Celtic. Kyogo had a very quiet day, was taken off. Hatate had a decent day, but then had an accidental clash with an Aberdeen player, which has resulted in dental work being required. But it was as good as could be expected under the circumstances. You're obviously a little ring rusty day one. Rangers certainly were yesterday. Celtic in places were ring rusty today. But all that matters to both of them is that they both won. And we now go to game two, which is Ross County away for Celtic and Kilmarnock at Ibrox next weekend.
And the intrigue stakes surrounding St Mirren and Motherwell were raised in the last few days, Roger, when Motherwell sacked a manager before the league even started. And they came away with all 3 points today.
Yeah, big win for Motherwell. today. They might have been sinking best for a lot of the game. They will not care. Stevie Hamill now has a perfect record as Motherwell manager. One game, one win. Kevin Van Veen has partially redeemed himself after shouldering the blame for the defeat to Sligo Rovers by taking the penalty and scoring the penalty. And even though Ricky Lamy was sent off, even though they lost Paul McGinn to injury, they've won the game. And after a very torrid 10 days or so for Motherwell Football Club, they finally get a bit of breathing space.
Right, still time for you to have your say. We are here until 7 o'clock on 01419511025, and that is exactly the number that Alec has dialed. As a Celtic fan, Alec, what did you make of that today?
I thought for the first 20-25 minutes we were absolutely breathtaking. I just wish somebody would take a pot shot at the 8 from the 18-yard box rather than try to walk it in. But I thought we were absolutely breathtaking today. And one player who I thought actually stood out, it gets a lot of criticism, was young Greg Taylor. I thought his attitude, his passion, his passing were absolutely fabulous today up and down that park. The boy deserved, I mean, if he plays like that, the Argentine boy will find it hard to get into the team. I thought young Taylor was brilliant today.
Well, yeah. Glad to hear someone give him praise. Well done to Alec. Greg Taylor last season, in spite of Celtic's run, all that was happening, Greg Taylor gets grudging praise. You know, that there are so many glamorous foreign players at Celtic Park, they tend to hog the headlines and hog the affections of the fans, but Greg Taylor never ever gives anything less than 100% for Celtic. So you're absolutely right, Alec. And I made the point that you were making early on that sometimes you get the impression that Celtic are trying to create and score the perfect goal, when, as you say, a bit more of a direct approach occasionally might pay dividends.
It's all about confidence for Greg Taylor, and you can see he's grown in confidence. He knows how to play that position. The manager likes the fullbacks to come in and link up with the midfield, causes problems. But I thought the first 15-20 minutes especially, getting down the left hand side, Maeda started on the left and then Jota come over. They like to switch wings. I like to see that in wingers. Gives the fullbacks different problems. But Taylor's passing, the backing up, he's defending. Yes, I thought he had a very positive game. Maybe it's the fact that he needs a bit of competition there as well, Hugh. I think that spurs you on. You know, when you look over your shoulder and think, if my performances aren't up to standard, there's somebody waiting to take my place, so I'm going to make sure I'm in this first team week in, week out. And Greg Taylor had a good game today.
Alec thinks Celtic were breathtaking early on, Roger, and maybe just overcomplicated things a bit at the end. What was your overall assessment?
Yeah, listen, he's probably not wrong. The first half hour Celtic scored, they should have been more than a goal up in that time, and then they let Aberdeen back in. You know, remember Johnny Hayes missing that chance just before half time for 1-1. But I think second half Joe Hart really wasn't under threat at any stage. You were just waiting in Celtic getting the second goal, and it was spectacular. Alec's first point was, I wish people would take a pot shot for 18 yards or 20 yards. Well, Jota took one from further out, and look what happened there, Alec.
Yeah, he must have been listening to me, Roger.
I mean, Alec, it's funny because you mentioned Greg Taylor, but I wonder if Stephen Welsh goes into that category as well. You know, all the exciting foreign players or big money signings or whatever it may be, he had a big impact, obviously, with that opening goal.
I thought young Welsh played really well today as well. I thought he was very calm. He passed the ball when he needed to. What I don't like about young Stephen Welsh is every time he passes the points, but he seems to be getting rid of that. Now, you know, he's just passing the ball, getting on with it, getting on with the game, you know, making sure he's clearing his lines. But I thought he had a great game today. But as I say, I think the full Celtic team, just big Giamarcus obviously missed a sitter, young Johnny Hayes missed a sitter. I think he was looking for where he used to sit when he was in the Celtic end, you know, but looking for his seat. But no, I think Celtic thoroughly deserved their win, and it could have been 3, 4 or 5.
No, you were joking, but we don't need conspiracies on week one of the season. Let's leave that until at least Wednesday night, then we'll get stuck in, I'm sure. There's no doubt about it, as we see more television replays, the goal from Jota is outstanding, Roger, regardless of when he was signed or whatever, but that's why Celtic fans were so keen to see him brought back.
Yeah, and it's Keller Roos's first league game for Aberdeen. Didn't have a chance. There's not a goalkeeper in the league would have saved that shot. Not even Liam Kelly in a sort of form he was showing for Motherwell earlier in the day. That's a fantastic effort from Jota, a fantastic goal. and it gives Celtic a little bit of breathing space that they hadn't had until he scored.
Do you know what makes it so good, Roger? You can look at it, everybody will look at it and think, what about the strike? I think he looks at McCrory, he looks at the position of McCrory, and he puts it to the right hand side of the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper ain't seen it. Don't get me wrong, he ain't saving it either. But that's a player of intelligence that knows exactly what he's doing, because prior to that, he tried the other corner, he tried to bend it, and he got it wrong. But if you watch him, he looks at the position of the defender, and he puts it in the area that the goalkeeper ain't getting there at all. Terrific finish.
And that's, Hugh, the nature of players at that end of the pitch are asked to make a difference. I think he tried an ambitious shot that was way over in the first half. He then curled one again that should have maybe been a bit closer than it was. But if you're Jim Goodwin, you're saying to the players, you can't really give him too many of those opportunities.
No. But Aberdeen emerged from the day with credit. They managed to withstand Celtic's torrid opening to the game. There were times when, for example, Johnny Hayes might have equalised in the first half. It wasn't, in spite of Celtic's overwhelming possession, 600 passes and more, according to the game stats. It wasn't until Jota scored that magnificent goal that Alec and everyone else could say, well, that's it, done. So Jim Goodwin gets something out of the day. You'll look forward to next week. Celtic get something out of the day, and you know, the first away game, Ross County, we all remember Ross County last season, the Anthony Ralston goal in the 97th minute. So we are off and running, and Alec from the Celtic perspective is happy. The Rangers supporters from their perspective will be happy that they got there in the end yesterday, and we're now firmly into the title race.
It's been a great weekend, Hugh. There's been something in every game. There's Celtic pick up effectively where they left off in May, defending the title. Rangers, big questions asked of Rangers yesterday at Livingston, and they answered them in the last 20 minutes. Likewise, Hearts answered them after a poor first half against Ross County, and big results. Hibs getting that result, digging it out in injury time against 10 men. Motherwell with 10 men, digging out a win with a penalty at St Mirren. And Kilmarnock against 10 men, digging out an equaliser in injury time. Very, very entertaining start to the Premiership season.
Germany have equalised in the Women's Euro final. Didn't realise you were part German, Gordon Diehl. I think I saw a celebration in there from you. They have pulled things level 10 minutes to go of the 90. Let's bring in Tony, who's an Aberdeen fan. How do you feel after that, Tony?
Well, obviously the result wasn't what I was looking for, but taken away from that, we were caught cold by that Steve Welsh header in the first minute. Jota's goal, I'm just watching it now on Sky Sports, no one would have saved. We've got almost a whole new lineup, so I think we coped well with them. We had a few chances, with the Johnny Hayes chance everyone keeps going on about, but I think onwards and upwards for the new season. Goodwin's obviously been given what he wanted, so let's see what happens, innit?
That's the nature of an opening fixture like that, Hugh. You can go there and lose 2-0 and be all right with it, you know. Not it's not the end of the world. Tony's content, if that's the right expression.
The season will not be defined by that game. The season will be defined, however, by a game like next week, where Aberdeen are at home to a struggling St Mirren, and there will be an expectant crowd at Pittodrie, and justifiably so, because players have been brought in, money has been spent, and I think we saw enough today to know that St Mirren will be up against it at Pittodrie. However, it's easy to say. It's for Aberdeen to prove that is the case. They have to win at Pittodrie next week. They have to give their supporters at home encouragement that the rebuilding has started successfully.
That's a less pressure game, Hugh, because nobody expects Aberdeen. What Aberdeen supporters...
Are we still using the phrase free hit in the new season? Does that count for you?
I don't think anybody really fancied Aberdeen to win this afternoon, right? But what I'm going to do is I look at the first three fixtures, Gordon, and what Aberdeen fans will be thinking, we'll have 6 points out of nine, because our next two games are at home against St Mirren and Motherwell, who played today. And you know, you listen to St Mirren manager saying that we should have won. Motherwell, you know, went there after a bad result, sacked their manager. It'll be interesting to see if they've got a new face in the dugout. But and the fact of Aberdeen at Pittodrie, with the players that they've brought in, the investment, Jim Goodwin's been given what he's wanted, I think that the pressure then turns to say we need 6 points.
Hey, but if you're Tony and you're an Aberdeen fan, you will be more confident going into those St Mirren and Motherwell games at Pittodrie, having witnessed what you've witnessed this afternoon and what you've witnessed in the four Premier Sports Cup games, because this Aberdeen team were six newcomers today, nine signings altogether. There were times they troubled Celtic. They could have equalised, you know, Johnny Hayes hit the target. And I think some of the new signings, they impressed. I think, you know, Tony will be able to tell you himself, but I think the Aberdeen support will be confident of getting those 6 points you talk about, Naz.
Tony, how frustrating was that missed Johnny Hayes chance in the first half?
It was very frustrating. Yeah, it's one of them. I think he's going to, he's a standout for us all the time. His energy, his pace, and his professionalism is outstanding. And I must just mention Ross McCrory, I thought was outstanding today as well.
Yeah,
when he went to centre back, you see a few times he took the ball off Celtic defenders, run up the wing, and he was there at the front back. McCrory, brilliant.
Yeah, and as you say, Roger, he wouldn't have played there. Liam Scales has been playing. He obviously couldn't play against his parent team. So fair play to Ross McCrory.
Yeah, I would imagine he'd step forward into that midfield role. I imagine Liam Scales will come back alongside Anthony Stewart next week for the St Mirren game. Maybe Dante Polvara will drop out and it'll be McCrory in there against Ramadani. But Aberdeen looked okay. You know, Hayes, Bessian, Kennedy, they'll see more of the ball in the next two games against St Mirren and Motherwell. Miofsky will see more chances in the next two games against St Mirren and Motherwell. And I think Aberdeen are destined for a better season.
Hugh, you can't possibly make a case to say that Aberdeen, you know, should have got anything from the game. But every football match leaves you with these little moments that you maybe keep you awake at night. That would be one, the Johnny Hayes miss, you know, a what if. And again, just how damaging it is to go there and lose a goal inside, what was it? Was it 2 minutes, 3 minutes? It was very early anyway.
Yeah. the look on Jim Goodwin's face when Stephen Welsh scored demonstrated that he was upset by the defending. It's like Giovanni Van Bronckhorst yesterday saying it's impossible to defend like that when his team were let down by John Souter. But as I say, next week I think Liam Scales will certainly come back for his Pittodrie debut in a league match, and I think that Aberdeen have the quality that is better than St Mirren's quality, as Celtic had the quality that was better than Aberdeen's quality today.
Tony, you're a good man. Will you stay in touch this season?
Of course, as always, yeah.
Good man, nice to hear from you. That was Tony, an Aberdeen fan. Now, I think I've finally realised why Gordon DL and Roger Hanna have appeared in shorts.
Oh.
It's obviously to prepare for this. I told you about it yesterday. There is still time to head to Excite Brayhead for Roller Disco Fever. Maybe that's where they're going. They're going to change out of the shorts into the flares, and they're going to head along. Ali Wright is there. She's going to tell us a little bit more about what's going on.
Thanks, Gordon. It's Ali here. I am over at Excite at Brayhead. It is a roller disco that's happening all afternoon. So much fun, honestly. I'd be lying if I said there's not been a few falls, right? We've had a couple of bend down, but there's no age limit. It is completely free. Brilliant to bring the kids along to. I'm on the decks all afternoon, and to top it all off, St Phoenix are coming along for a really wee special show, and they've got a meet and greet as well. Get yourself along.
No age limit. You should have seen the eyes light up in here when these three heard that. Anyway, there's still time for you to get in touch on the phones. 0141 951 1025. Call now. We'll try and get you on next.
Games are over, the talking begins. 0141 951 1025. Clyde One Super Scoreboards Open Line.
Into the final part. It's been quite the opening weekend. We knew it would be good because Scottish football always delivers in terms of excitement and drama, and always a little sprinkling of controversy as well. So it's been a very good start, a very bright opening to the new league season. And it rounded off at Celtic Park today. It was flag day. There was a full stadium display. The fans were in party mode, and the team delivered after just a couple of minutes. Stephen Welsh with the header. It then died down a bit, you would have to say. Aberdeen gave a good account of themselves, but Jota's stunner put the gloss on things, and Celtic head towards the top of that table with 3 points this afternoon, as did Motherwell get. Now remember, what a chaotic start they've had. Knocked out of Europe by Sligo Rovers, a manager sacked before a league ball's even been kicked. They had to pull club legend Stephen Hamill back from his holidays to take the team today, and as you would imagine, he was fairly satisfied with what went on.
Huge win, it was needed. It's been a disappointing week before this with the performances, the results, you know, the manager leaving. But you know, the message of the last two days, was we're coming here to win. That was the plan. Everybody was aware of that. You know, at times, you know, we had to defend, especially down to 10 men. But you know, we came here to win, and we did.
Looks like you enjoyed it at the end with the fans as well. Obviously, means a lot to them and a lot to you.
It does. You know, the support they've given me over the years has been fantastic. But it's no surprise. You know, even with the week they've had and the disappointment of going out when we shouldn't have. To come out in the numbers and support us and support me is brilliant. The chairman spoke to me after the game, and we're going to have a little chat next week at some point, him, myself, Alan Burrows and the chairman, and we'll see what the best is. You know, as you say about the fans and the togetherness that we had and the relationship that I've got with them, you know, whatever they deem is the best thing for the football club, you know, we'll get after that.
Is it something you'd want?
As I said, I honestly, like you say, the last couple of days I've no thought about it. We wanted to win today. We'll chat in the next few days, I'd imagine. Obviously, I'd imagine there's a lot of people interested in it as well. And then hopefully we'll have a better answer at some point next week.
Well, it wasn't a no.
No, but it sounds to me as if the chairman and Alan Burrows, the chief executive, are of a mind to have him involved in the new setup. He might not be the manager. I don't think he will be the manager. But I think they are intent on having him part of the way going forward.
That's often the way Motherwell do things, Gordon. I don't need to tell you or Daz that, you know, how often have you seen that Motherwell legends involved? Some of the Keith Lasley was in the coaching staff, James McFadden at one stage was in the coaching staff as well. So it wouldn't surprise me at all if, having had success with academy teams, that Stephen Hamill, the next, you know, step of his coaching development is to become first team coach or assistant manager, or I still wouldn't rule it out, the next manager of Motherwell.
Yeah, I'm delighted for him and Brian Kerr and everyone that stepped up to the mantle today, Gordon, because it was a tough job. Let's not be kidded. You know, it's been a rough few days for everyone concerned with Motherwell. And as he said there, he was confident, he went to get the result. Yes, we've heard they rode their luck a little bit. Sometimes you do that in football, that turns a corner for you. Big game against St Johnstone, but it's all about today, and it was a terrific 3 points, and well done, guys.
Yeah, I guess doesn't matter how you do it, Hugh. Did Motherwell deserve to win the game on the balance of play? Probably not. Mirren will feel hard done by. We heard from Stephen Robinson. But at the end of the week that it's been, you just get 3 points and you move on.
I think if your goalkeeper, an outstanding goalkeeper, has a brilliant day, then that's fine, because that's what he's there for. And I think if your centre forward steps up to the plate and scores with a penalty kick after having admitted that he was one of the main men to blame for the European elimination at the hands of Sligo Rovers, then good. St Mirren may feel that they were the better side, but as old cynics always say, read the score in the paper in the morning.
At the same time though, it shows that Welsh result is king. Performance levels do matter to fans. The fans were content with what they saw from St Mirren today. We could see the reaction at the end. And then, I mean, even just a quick glance at social media, I know it's easy for us to say, you know, they haven't won the game,
but that only takes you so far. Believe me, who are the happiest supporters tonight? St Mirren, whose team played well but lost, or sure. Motherwell, whose team didn't play so well but won.
I get that, but I mean, I can see tweets from St Mirren fans who are saying they're actually more optimistic about the season now, having lost the game, than they were prior to the match kicking off.
Yeah, but listen, that only goes so far. You go up to Aberdeen next week to take on your former manager, Jim Goodwin. If you lose that game, that's suddenly no points from six and you're out the League Cup. And it is a results-driven business. There's no doubt about it. And they need to start scoring goals, Gordon. It's all very well scoring against Cowdenbeath from the Lowland League and FC Edinburgh. Mm. They've played Airdrie, couldn't score. Arbroath, couldn't score. 10-man Motherwell, couldn't score. That's not a good recipe for success.
Next two games ain't easy. Aberdeen, Ross County. I totally understand supporters, it's great for managers, great for players that you say, right, okay, we put everything into it. We didn't win today. The fans are right behind us. I agree with Roger, it doesn't last long because then fans start looking, thinking, it's not about performances just now, it's about results. It's the same with Motherwell. It wasn't about a performance today. It was all about getting 3 points. That is a brilliant 3 points for Motherwell. They've got St Johnstone, I think Aberdeen away in their next two games as well. St Johnstone at home, capable certainly of winning that. So that could all of a sudden, you know, leap their season forward. But I still think there's a lot of twists and turns to come. But I do agree, Roger, that the quicker you get the 3 points on the board, the better. Whether fans are clapping you off the pitch or not, but managers come under pressure when the points don't go on the board.
Doesn't sound like there's a massive rush for a Motherwell manager, Roger. Stephen Hamill speaking about sitting down with Alan Burrows and the board this week and seeing, you know, about his role in it and where it goes from here. So would you be surprised if he was still in the dugout anyway for next weekend's game?
I wouldn't be surprised at all. Results buy you time, Gordon. If they lose 3-0, I remember Keith Lasley once taking over an emergency charge, losing 3-0 at Hamilton, and suddenly there was a crisis and they needed to get somebody in quick. They don't have that. So I would think there's a fair chance Stephen Hamill will be in charge on Saturday at home to St Johnstone. If they win that game, you know, Stephen Hamill could continue. The one thing, they will want the permanent manager in at least a fortnight before the transfer window closes, because they want to give him time to get some fresh faces in.
How do we reflect then, Gordon DL, on an opening weekend?
I've really enjoyed it, Gordon. We've had a lot of talking points, goals, you know, sending offs, you know, performances saying, well, below par, picking up points. The top two teams, Celtic and Ranger, I thought Celtic were excellent today. As much as everybody's given a bit of praise to Aberdeen, second half they offered nothing, all down to Celtic. Yesterday, second half, I thought Rangers were excellent as well. I think we're in for a brilliant season. Hearts getting that result that they needed to kickstart their season. Motherwell today getting a great 3 points as well. Dundee United and Kilmarnock share of the points down there. Plenty of football, plenty of excitement. If this is the start of it, I think we're in for a terrific season.
Do you know what I love about it, Roger? We've had the good. We've seen Jota's goal. Look at Rangers' goals yesterday, the Hearts' goals. We've had the bad. That's the way the Rangers fans certainly felt about the defending in the first half. And as always with Scottish football, the downright mad. The goal lines was too thick at Livingston. It was a Patrick Thistle up at Dundee printed on the ticket. Then Dundee going and lose the game. Never a dull day.
Could have been, there were three red cards. There could have been five or six red cards. There's been gold, there's been drama. There have been wins for the Glasgow Big Two, wins for the Edinburgh Big Two. And look at the cheesy grins in your face. A win for Motherwell as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Hopefully sets us up for what's to come. It's been an interesting summer break, getting stuck into transfer rumours and who's staying, who's going, who's going to come to our game and try and make an impact. Of course, everyone is anticipating a tight title race at the top. The big games are coming thick and fast. The guys are already talking about next weekend, believe it or not. There's an Edinburgh derby. The transfer window is still open, so goodness knows what could happen during the week as well. And we now invite Rangers into European qualification as well, and we've got Champions League to look forward to. So it is all there. Hugh Keevans, you have seen many opening weekends in your time on this show. How would you sum up this one? Where does this one leave us going into the new campaign?
It leaves us where we picked off last season. It leaves us in a country where there is never a dull moment, where two teams will undoubtedly dominate the title race, but will give us great quality and entertainment. Today was about flags. Celtic ran the league flag up the pole and saluted it with a magnificent goal from Jota to beat Aberdeen 2-0, a goal that may not be bettered at any stage this season. Motherwell refused to run a white flag up the pole. They went there on the back of a European humiliation to Paisley and got the job done. They might not have been the best team, they got the best result.
What a weekend it's been, thank you. As always, you play such a huge part in it on this show, and you can continue to do so tomorrow. We're back at 6, that's when we really get stuck into all the big talking points from the weekend. There's always plenty of debate about various things that have gone on, so make sure you join us. You'll be in the company of myself, Roger Hanna will be back, and Marvin Bartley. It'll be good to hear what he made of events in Livingston yesterday. So I'm already looking forward to that at 6. Speak to you then, and in the meantime, you may as well stay right there, because the throwback is up next.